This is an iHeart podcast.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. Oh, that's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Rest assured, I am here. I am here. It's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. If I was on my deathbed, I would not deny you the great honor of hear. What, Chris? The great honor of hearing the sultry sounds of my voice. What? They're sultry on a Friday. And we have a great little mini voicemail. I have the biggest stack. I don't know if you can hear that. I do my own sound effects. The biggest stack of awesome Ask Dr. Jesse questions I've ever had in my life. I apparently have to weaponize bugs and make them as big as Jeeps. Somebody wants to know why the left is better at PR than the right. I have an answer for you on that. I have to teleport somewhere. I have to execute somebody. Somebody gave me three choices to execute somebody. That is dark. You people are dark. It's awesome. 877-377-4373 is the number. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. You can email throughout the show. Jewish producer Chris checks those, prints them. And yes, I have thoughts on the National Guard being moved to a parking garage, so on and so forth. And my take on that, as you can imagine, is a bit different than everyone else's right now. But first, I promised you I was going to go part two on the Italian invasion, really, of World War II. Well, I have good news and I have bad news on that. The good news is you are 100% getting a part two today. The bad news is when I'm not in, I kind of obsess over some of the things I wanted to say when I was in. So I crawled down a bit of a rabbit hole yesterday on this Italian invasion. Good news is you're getting a bit more of it today. The bad news is I can't promise you I'm finishing it today. It may be a three-parter, and you're going to have to wait till Monday. That's life. A brief recap. We're Italy, World War II, Mussolini, Hitler, couple of fascist dictators rise to power. Hitler, Germany, doing real well on the whole economic military front, spending a bunch of money. Italy didn't have that kind of economy, spent 10% of what Germany did, and Italy is promptly getting slapped around everywhere they go in the war. As I said on Wednesday, that joke, why does the Italian Navy have glass bottom boats? To look at the old Italian Navy, and there are a million jokes like that out there. It all came from this. It all came from World War II. It was really bad. Indefensibly bad. They were terrible. So they didn't do well in Africa when they were going after the Brits there. And then they didn't do well in the Mediterranean when they were trying to run the Brits off of the island of Malta. And now, Hitler, He's still in Russia. He's got problems. We're dealing with a Churchill FDR plan to try to ease some of the pressure off of Stalin, who's fighting for his life in the Soviet Union. No, we didn't love Stalin, but we knew we had to have the Soviet Union still in the war, or we were going to have a hard time defeating Adolf Hitler. It just comes down to that. Never forget, as much as I hate dirty commies and as much as I hate Stalin, I believe the number is 8 out of 9 Nazis killed in World War II were killed by Soviets. The Soviet Union carried the burden of that war. Not to put down our guys in any way. We supplied them. We lost plenty of men. Our men are heroes. But that the Soviet Union looks at that war different than we do. That's for sure. That is for sure. And understandably so. Now, how do we ease the pressure off Stalin? We don't have Normandy yet. We're already obviously in Britain. We're planning to come on down from the north. But, well, we've been slapping around these Italians. Why don't we just go into Italy and come up from underneath? They considered it the softer underbelly. And that, I don't want to call it a mistake. I can't, there were plenty of mistakes made in the war, but thinking Italy is a soft underbelly, that was a big mistake because of the terrain. Because Hitler knew the Italians were worthless. He famously complained about it. And Hitler, well, he knew his guys weren't. And you put a bunch of highly trained, well-equipped Wehrmacht soldiers in mountainous, rocky terrain, and it's going to be tough to get those guys out. And that's just the bottom line. But let's go to Sicily first, because that was goal number one, Sicily. We roll into Sicily. It's not brutal fighting for the most part. And remember, Sicily's that huge island off the toe of the boot of Italy. Not brutal fighting so far, but it's a huge, I mean, it's calling Sicily an island almost, it almost doesn't do it justice. It's gigantic. So, you know, the fighting wasn't horrible, but it did take 38 days to do it. And then once you finish it, it just becomes a big depot a gigantic Costco, for lack of a better way to put it. You know, we forget sometimes, because it's not sexy, but we forget about the logistics. You hear me talk about logistics all the time. You listen to this show. But think of the equipment it takes to feed an army. Let's set aside the bullets and bombs and everything else. Just to feed one. I've told you things like this before. In the Marine Corps, we would go do a battalion-sized, that's just 1,000 guys. That's not exact, but 1,000 guys. We're taking 1,000 guys out to the desert for 3 days. We're going to go do a big shoot out there. You'll do big live fire drills and stuff. You cannot possibly wrap your mind around how much food that takes. That's it. 1,000 guys, just a few days. And it would be, we called them 5 tons. They were these big, obviously 5-ton trucks. They were just truck after truck after truck after truck full of just the food. That's only 1,000 guys. That's only 3 days. And that's only the food. Now picture 100,000 man, 200,000 man, 500,000 man invasion of some of Europe, and you don't only have to feed them, you need more medical equipment than you can possibly comprehend, because they're going to be dying and getting wounded. They need bullets, like a lot of them. Or your airplanes need bombs. Your men need equipment that you can't even think of right now. Just basics. You need basics like stuff people don't think about. Your pack. You have to hump around with lots of your gear on your back. Well, that stuff gets destroyed sometimes in combat. You have to have spares. It's a gargantuan amount of gear. So once you take Sicily, you have to absolutely load it up full of stuff to continue fortifying it and to make sure your guys are never without stuff. Your guys run out of ammo. I don't care if they're the best troops in the world. They're all going to die. That's just a fact of life. Now, what happens about this time? Well, it's a cool story. I'm not going to go into all the details today because I have way, way, way too much to get to. But Mussolini, remember we talked the other day, we've talked before about you don't really comprehend how divided Italy has always been amongst themselves. Blood rivalries, just real hatred. Back in the city-state times, they were always at war, killing each other. It was really ugly, right? Well, Mussolini never got as firm a hold on power as he should have. And as the Italians are losing, the support he has is going downhill. That actually applies to something today. We're going to talk about that really briefly, and then we're going to continue our story. Hang on.
The Talk Radio Revolution, Jesse Kelly.
You need to take care of your heart. And I'm not trying to be sappy. I'm not trying to tug at your heartstrings here, but I've experienced a lot of it in my family, people who didn't take care of their heart. And it's not something you enjoy, I will tell you that much. And it runs in my family. So I have to take care of mine. I want to be there when my sons have sons one day. I do. It means a lot to me. How could I not do something as simple as eat 2 Super Beats heart chews per day? That's as easy as it gets. I'm not demanding or asking anybody to go run a marathon. I'm telling you, 2 Super Beats heart chews a day? They taste good. It's the easiest way humanly possible you can do something good for your heart and your blood pressure. Go to superbeats.com/Jesse. That's superbeats.com/Jesse. That gets you 2 free 30-day supplies.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
Bar higher enough to basically where the U.S. is right now.
When I announced it, you all said it's not possible. Come on, give me a break, man.
Come on,
guys. It's a good start.
I'm going to be sad when we lose him. I'm going to be sad when he resigns in like 4 months. Come on. Come on, man. Remember, that was always his thing. Whenever he's put to a hard question. Come on, man. And he gets away with it. It's not bad being a Democrat. But, all right, come on. We got to get focused here, Chris. We have a stack of Ask Dr. Jesse questions, and they're so good. You guys are killing it. Killing it with this. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. You can find me on social media at jessekellydc. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I'm going to be kicked off all those very soon. I'm also starting an On Locals account. I'll give you all the details on that once I get there because I can't be kicked off of there, and therefore I'm going. Like I said, it is time to balkanize. Time to get to your own areas with your own people. It's going to be that kind of country. Now, Mussolini. Part of the reason we were in going after Italy is not only because it was kind of the softer underbelly. It's because we thought if we kept pressing them, they would bounce Mussolini for us. We had plenty of intelligence saying the Italians were very unhappy with him. And winning and losing are funny things. Your support when you're winning, a lot of it isn't real. And a lot of the hate you get when you're losing isn't real. You just become either the focal point of somebody's celebration or the focal point of their anger. And I'm just going to step away from the history story briefly for just a moment right now. You're going through a lot of that right now. So am I when it comes to politics, when it comes to the GOP. When you have the president for 4 years and executive orders are ones you like and things are going the way you want them to go, everybody looks smarter, right? Everybody looks better. Donald Trump is the saint, and McConnell's really good, and we're doing things right, and everything's going well. When you're winning, everybody's a good guy. Right now, we just got over a couple months of some pretty rough losses. The election lost, and oh, we're going to get it back, and oh, we're actually not going to get it back, and oh, then we lost the Senate too. And right now, everybody's smarting. Therefore, support wanes. You don't look as smart anymore. You know, when you're in a sales office, a number one sales guy comes in and cracks a joke in the morning meeting when the boss is going over something. It's kind of funny, right? He's the number one dude. Even the boss will laugh. Ha ha, good one, Marty. Good stuff. The guy who hasn't met his quota in 3 months makes the same joke. Hey, Bill, do me a favor and shut up or you're fired. That's how that goes. Mussolini gets bounced. His own people bounce him. They hide him away in a mountain retreat. And there's a guy, we've done a show on him before. His story is incredible. Otto Scorzani. I mean, he looks like a character from the movies with a big scar. I believe, if I remember right, it was a jousting scar across his face. He was known as the most dangerous man in Europe. Now, when I say he was known as, I mean, Goebbels, the propagandist, the famous Nazi propagandist, was the one who called him that, and then word spread. But he's just, doesn't he look sweet? See, Jewish producer Chris just looked up. The dude looks awesome. And then later on, he murdered Nazis on behalf of Israel. This dude is just, I mean, his life is awesome. That Otto Scorzani show was awesome. But anyway, be that as it may, Hitler goes to Otto Scorzani and says, I need you to rescue Mussolini. You see, Hitler has too many fish to fry at this point. He's obviously got his hands full in the Soviet Union. He's worried about an allied invasion of France, an allied invasion of Italy. He doesn't have the time to try to talk the new Italian government into coming to his side. He needs his guy back in charge of Italy now. And he knows Mussolini isn't great, but he's something. All right, sometimes in life, you and I run into this too. Sometimes good enough has to be good enough for a while because that's all you've got. You know what I'm talking about. Bills are piling up. Maybe got a little behind on some things. And your tires are getting a little bald. Well, just going to have to drive a little slower for a month because I don't have the money for new ones. I've been there, Jack. I've been there. You know what I mean? Sometimes good enough has to be good enough. And that's where Hitler is right now. So he sends, or Otto Scorzani puts together this raid where the Nazis fly gliders into like this mountaintop fortress to rescue Mussolini. It's the coolest story. It's not great to root for Nazis, but every now and then the stories are kind of cool. It was a cool story. They rescued him. He comes back. But he's useless. He's useless, and the army he has is useless. And now they get rid of him for good. He just can't keep a hold of power the second time. He can't even really get back to Italy, and he finally does get back to Italy. He gets himself killed. Well, now you've lost the Italians if you're Hitler, and the new Italian government says, well, we'll be on your side, America and allies, except they don't have any power. Remember, these are the guys, their military forces just got wiped out. So the Germans essentially, obviously they were welcomed by Mussolini. They essentially just invaded Italy and said, oh, okay, now you're ours now too. Which sometimes things don't work out for you. In hindsight, the Allies would have rather had Mussolini in charge. Why? Well, it's the Joe Biden-Kamala Harris argument. I'd rather Joe Biden stay there. I'd rather the idiot be in charge than the smart one. You'd rather have Mussolini in charge because you would have been fighting Italian troops in Italy. Instead, you bounced him. You got him bounced. And now you're facing highly trained Germans dug into Italian mountains, rivers, dug into hilltops. And these guys, look, they're very, very good. The German military history from World War I to World War II is just very good. They're German. They're disciplined. Their training's excellent. They're German. So we kick off what we think is, well, what we call Operation Avalanche. But we think, and this is a huge problem, it was in the beginning for us. We think, because the Italians have capitulated already, that it's going to be basically a hike through Italy. Oh, we're invading, but, I mean, Italy's already on our side. I'm sure we'll see some Germans here or there. The difference in mentality is the difference in whether you win or lose so many times. We walked into Italy, and we took the losses we took in the beginning because of that mentality. We walked in thinking we're going to cakewalk through this place. The Germans, meanwhile, are dug into the mountains thinking our country and our entire way of life is going to be gone if these guys get through. You see the difference in mentality? It was a huge difference. And we're dealing with, at this point, you know I don't bombard you with names because I think all the details ruin the story, but this is General Patton. Ever heard of him? General Clark. For the Brits, General Montgomery, that like so many of the legends you know, this is part of where they became legend. All right, I'm going to chop away at a little more of this. I don't think I'm going to go much longer because I promised to answer a bunch of your questions. We have Sarah Gonzalez next hour with her thoughts on the National Guard guys in the parking garage. I have my own unique thoughts. Hang on.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. That's doihaveprediabetes.org.
Wait, did they just say one in three adults has prediabetes? That's 33.33333% of adults. That means it could be me, my boss, or my boss's boss, or me, my favorite sister, or my other sister. That's seven members of my 21-person romantic book club. Wait, the one in three could be me, my karaoke partner Carol, or my karaoke enemy Jeff. I'm going to take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Remember, I read all of your emails, all of them. The Ask Dr. Jesse ones, the hate, the love, the ones you clearly wrote when you were hammerhoused. They all go right to Jewish producer Chris, who prints them all out for me. Yes, we read them all. I'm not going to respond. I get way too many. I'm just not, but I will read it. But look, I'm the Shogun, so I owe it to you to read the emails. Now, let us get back before I get to your Ask Dr. Jesse questions about weaponizing bugs and making them the size of Jeeps. Why the left is better than the right at PR, so on and so forth. Before I get to that, let me do at least a few more minutes on my Italian invasion story. Now we land. General Clark lands forces on Italy. Something you and I don't have enough of an appreciation of now, because we just assume, like, we read stories about the Marines and the Normandy invasion, the Marines in the Pacific and the Normandy invasion, things like that. And we think that amphibious warfare, going from the ocean to the land, is just kind of something we've always done. That's what people do, right? No, it's very difficult. It's very, very, very difficult. The ocean is unpredictable. You don't just sail up to any part of the beach and it goes from being 100 feet deep to 50 feet deep. And just gradually, with a nice sand slope, you just coast on into the beach. The ocean is nuts. There are reefs everywhere. There are tides everywhere. The tides change. The winds change. The weather changes. You have this boat that can get by because it's just a little bit more shallow in the water. But this boat can't get by. And now you have guys, I mean, we don't tell the stories that much because they don't make good movies. They don't make good books. They just don't. But there are a lot of guys who have died, especially World War II era. We were learning amphibious warfare. A lot of guys died in some truly inglorious ways. Guys died because their boats got stuck on a reef out in the middle of the water. They had to get out. They drowned because their gear weighed too much. Guys died because a boat would just take on water and go to the bottom on their way to the beach. Guys died in these ways a lot because it's very difficult to pull this off. General Clark lands his forces on a large front, but it's way too large. It's way too wide. It's too disorganized. And the Germans know a little something about digging in on the defense. They're shooting downhill. They're shooting downhill on exposed troops, and they're peppering them. The first couple days of the Italian invasion, nobody talks about it. They're some of the deadliest days in World War II. Our guys got massacred there. Now, by the grace of God, we do have, remember, the Soviet war is still going on. So the Germans are dug in. They're strong. They're highly trained. But there are only so many of them, and they can't allow themselves to get stretched too thin. Eventually, they have to, I don't want to say retreat. They have to back off. They have to move back to a separate line of defense that's further inside. Now, this is good and bad news. This is good news because now you have a foothold on the beaches. You have a foothold on the shore, and it's allowing you to bring on the men and supplies and things like that you need. Obviously, that's great. The bad news is the Germans know you're coming. They really know you're coming. And now you're getting off the countryside because, look, Italy is like so many other countries. Like, I mean, basically all the countries. Cities get built on the water. That's where you build cities. Cities are always somewhere close to a body of water. I mean, pretty much always. You don't, with the exception of Las Vegas, you don't find a great spot in the middle of the desert and just drop something there. It doesn't work logistically. Well, now you're house-to-house fighting. And this fighting is so bad. We're artillery shelling. We're naval gun shelling. We're air bombing these cities. And you're going to see this as this story goes on and on and on. It doesn't help your cause when they're defending a city and you're trying to attack a city to bomb it. Not if they're smart about it. You think you're bombing them out of it. But if they're prepared, as we found out the Germans very much were prepared, what you've done now is create an obstacle course for yourself. And the great irony in this is exactly what the Nazis were experiencing in Stalingrad at this time. They bombed it and air bombed it and artilleryed it to the ground. Well, picture this. Picture you're sitting there, you're highly trained with a weapon or two in your hand, and you're in a bombed-out building. Okay, what you've just given me is 10,000 places to hide, 10,000 places to hide booby traps. I have cover everywhere I go. You've made this a nightmare for you, not for me. For you, you have to come get me out of that rubble. And that's what we were experiencing. So now the Germans are really starting to push back, and they're hammering us hard. Really hard. We begin to bring in paratroopers. And I'm sorry to nerd out on so many of these details today with like the logistics and things like that, but it's important for us to understand this is how warfare is. In the same way, on a macro level at this point, we're hitting Italy to try to take some pressure off the Soviet Union. You drop in paratroopers as we did behind enemy lines, not because you think they're going to go conquer the whole country by themselves, to ease some of the pressure off your troops who are trying to push in, because it creates a nightmare for you as a commander if you have a line. All right, you've got your line in the sand and the enemy's on that side of the line and we're on this side of the line. If all of a sudden you have even a small force land behind you that now you have to concern yourself with, it creates severe problems. That's why paratroopers are so important and they are so absurdly brave. As much as it pains me to give the Army any credit whatsoever, in all seriousness, they're very, very brave and they're incredibly important units. Because think about this. And I highly recommend it if you never have. I highly recommend you watch Band of Brothers. It'll give you some idea. It's a true story of Easy Company in World War II. They were paratroopers. It gives you some idea of what it's like to land in hostile territory behind enemy lines. You remember we just talked about the amphibious landing and how hard that is? Well, at least you had naval ships that are hauling supplies and stuff like that in there for you. You land behind enemy lines as a paratrooper, you're not going to have a big 5-ton full of food with you. You have to have some kind of plan to feed yourself. You only have so much ammunition, something else we don't think about. Human beings, they're not pack mules. I don't care what kind of shape you're in. There's only so much ammo you can carry before you're too heavy to move. And in combat, you have to move. And when you have to move, you have to move with some speed. But we drop our paratroopers behind. We start to ease the pressure. They start to change the nature of the battle. And the Germans are really probably matching us toe-to-toe on land right now. But one thing that's making the huge difference at this point, and will continue to make a huge difference throughout the war, is our Navy. Naval guns, and gosh, this hurts. I'm giving credit to the Navy now, too. What is wrong with me today? Dang it. The Navy, the naval guns are simply too important. And you know why you should appreciate that? I'm going to tell you why you should appreciate that. And then we're getting to some Ask Dr. Jesse questions. We're going to have to pause. Hang on.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Letter note, will he keep Donald Trump's Air Force One color scheme change?
This is such a good question. I have not had the opportunity to dig into that today, given the number of executive actions, orders, the inauguration, a few things happening. I will venture to get you an answer on that, and maybe we can talk about it in here tomorrow.
Woo! Look, it's not easy fielding hard hitters like that, but I thought, what? I thought she handled it well, Chris. I thought she... Look, she's out there taking shots. People, look, understand this before we wrap up our story here for today and get to your Ask Dr. Jesse questions. One, are these people stupid and embarrassing? Yes, yes, of course they are. But I wish they were all just dumb. They genuinely think this is how they've been raised. This is the system they grew up in. Parents, media, especially their schools, they now are of the mindset that they did just get rid of a Nazi dictator. And they feel like a Democrat president is simply what we're supposed to have. That's the norm. And now that they have it, they're not there really to cover it. When you're in D.C., it's easy, very, very easy to get caught up in the power of all of it. And even you, I mean, look, you listen to my show, so you're probably a bit more of a rebellious type. Okay, almost undoubtedly, you're probably more of a rebellious type. You know, they say your audience ends up being a real reflection of you. That's probably what you are. So I don't think you're some, you know, oh, he's a celebrity. Woo-hoo! Probably not. But man, I've lived there. You're standing in the Capitol building. It is really cool. It's really cool. You're sitting down. You're meeting with the Speaker of the House. I had a beer with the Speaker of the House one time. I'm not one of these celebrity types, and I wasn't, ah, can I get your picture? I just won't do that as a dude. As a man, I'm not doing that. Still, it didn't hit me until later. I'm like, man, that's really cool. I just had a beer with the Speaker of the House, right? When you're a Democrat journalist, and they're all Democrats, and you're speaking to a Democrat press secretary, or even better, the Democrat president, you can't possibly cover that person right because your mentality is so screwed up. You think this is a magical moment for you. You're not there to do journalism. You're there to go post it on Instagram and then call your mommy afterwards and tell her, Mommy, I met the president. Ah! You're not there. They have a different mentality than you and I have. But back to our story. As I wrap this up here, we get to your Ask Dr. Jesse questions. We don't have as much of an appreciation as we should for our Navy today and before. And the reason I say that is we don't realize the cost, the staggering cost of having a great Navy. Navies cost a fortune. It just costs a fortune to build the ships, to equip the ships, and then because technology moves the way it moves, by the time you get it built and equipped, it's out on the water. It's done in a few years. You've got to start building a new one, a different one, because the technology made your awesome state-of-the-art ship obsolete in, you know, years. Not very long, not decades, years. Americans don't appreciate World War II and today enough for how much our economy wins. Having an economy is safety. It is safety. Look at the naval stats of, you know, our aircraft carriers. Just pick aircraft carriers versus everybody else. Look at the numbers. Like, everybody else has one, two, three. I haven't looked in forever. Last time I looked, we had like 15. It's just, I mean, we print them out like we're like a can of sardines. Ah, should we make another? Sure. Without a second thought. When we talk about things on the show, like the debt, you know, I don't talk about it much because people just don't care about it. But you know how passionate I am about it, so I'm always going to bring it up. Realize that things like this are what's tied to it. That once that debt train, once it gets here, there aren't any more aircraft carriers. There aren't any more Social Security checks. The Medicare coverage, oh yeah, we'll cover some ibuprofen and that's about it. These are the changes that are coming. When are they coming? I don't know. They'll do as much magic with the dollar as they possibly can. But it's not an if, it's a when. You cannot spend money on this scale beyond what you make. You simply cannot spend that kind of money forever. It's not how it works. It's not how it works. Appreciate your Navy. Appreciate what it's given you. and realize your economy built it. And without your economy, you ain't building another one. Economic security is national security. It saved a lot of lives on Italy as they bombarded the Germans out of position from their naval ships. Saves a lot of money today, saves a lot of lives today, just existing as it does. All right? Now, it's Ask Dr. Jesse time. Why is the left superior in PR to the right? I'll tell you. Hang on.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You can catch me on social media at JesseKellyDC. 877-377-4373 is the number. It's going to be a great Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And listen, I'm not done with the history story today. It's just got to go on another day because there's so much to it. And listen, I had to find a cutoff point for myself. That's how deep down the rabbit hole I went yesterday. And by the time I'm done, I'm thinking to myself, oh, man, they're going to be so mad at me. I'm never wrapping this up tomorrow. Sorry. Look, it's Sombrero Jesse. You never know where I'm going. What, Chris? You never know where I'm going to go. Oh, great and powerful pillar of masculinity, Jesse Sombrero Steel Kelly. Why does it seem that the American left has a far superior PR game than the American right? The conservative viewpoint and ideas are obviously better for the long-term prosperity of the country, but the commies on the left seem to always give the better sales pitch. Okay. I'm about to break this down for you. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? I usually, my drink was, give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
This is an iHeart podcast.